Everybody.
Morning.
Is it running? All right. So far, so good. I do have my rock, so. That's a big one, too. That hurt. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. I'm going to stop right there. This is a secret, okay? Jesus Christ is coming again. It's a secret because most people don't know it. It's a secret because most people don't believe it. But it's certain as far as the scriptures are concerned. Now, for some, that doesn't mean much. But for believers, it means everything. We believe the scripture. We believe Christ. We believe the book. Others do not. And it's evident more and more every day. In some ways, it is that simple. We believe and they don't. I believe the Bible, and that changes how I look at the world and at myself. I believe Christ, and that changes how I look at myself and how I look at this world. And it changes sometimes how the world looks at me. If you believe, it's changed how you look at everything. But from this scripture and others, I believe that Christ is coming again. I believe this same Jesus that went up is coming back in like manner as they saw him go. And it is that simple. To me. To others, maybe not so much. Because to others, it seems far-fetched and it seems ridiculous. But to me, it is that simple. Jesus Christ is coming again. And I find it awfully significant that these two men in white apparel that were standing here, they use the name Jesus here. This same Jesus, this same man is coming again. They didn't say Christ was coming again, although he is. This same Jesus, this same person. And he's coming in like manner as you have seen him go. That way, if you can read, there's no confusion. It's the same man. The man that is sitting at the right hand of God right now is coming again. Now, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. As Earl Cochran said it, there's a man seated on the throne, which has never happened before. But he's there now, and he will be there until he comes again. There's a man whom God accepted. He is our forerunner, the first among many brethren. This Jesus you see going is going to be the same Jesus that comes back in the same way. People are very confused about this. Now, I'm not going to talk about Hollywood, because if y'all seen movies, you've seen all kind of weird stuff that they want to come up with. But this is reality. Because people don't understand that the man Christ Jesus has entered into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us, for his people. And that same Jesus is coming again in like manner. That's the part they don't understand, because they're looking for him everywhere else. They're not looking for him where he is. They'll look upon him on a cross, in a church. They'll look upon him in a manger as a babe. And there are others that are worse, which I'm fixing to get to. But they don't read the scriptures. If they read the scriptures, they don't comprehend the scriptures. If they comprehend them, they don't believe them. It all comes down to one thing. They will not have this man to reign over them. That's what they won't have. And they will imagine another Jesus before they'll bow to this man. This man that's seated at the right hand of the Father. And there are people out there who will even say that they are the Son of God. I was watching TV the other day. I'm blaming Debbie. She's not here. I don't know. National Geographic. The program was called A Second Coming. Now, it was a trio of stories about real people, three different people who state that they are Jesus. And they state it loudly and proudly. One is a former Russian traffic cop who's in Siberia. I don't know. One is a former British MI5 agent and whistleblower. And one is a preacher in the Philippines. Now, they all proclaim they are the Son of God. And they all proudly proclaim that they are Christ. Now, they all have varying degrees of success. I didn't see the one about the Russian guy. I come in the last part of the program, or the second half. Deb said, you know, of course, it's a very small area. He's in Siberia, okay? So it's kind of rural. So I guess success there is relative. The British guy is living in a tent among a bunch of other people living in tents, which actually I guess could be construed as more Christ-like. But at the end of the show, the beautiful thing about this, sometimes you got to like National Geographic. At the end of this show, they're doing a little bit like outtakes, and people are walking behind Jesus, sitting in his chair outside his tent. And it's a line of kids. And you can hear him in the background. And one of the little kids says, one of the other little kids says, he says he's Jesus. And the guy turns around and says, I am. And one of the other little kids goes, no, you're not. So I'm watching this show and I think, out of the mouth of babes comes truth. Because sometimes it does. Now, the one they spent the most time on is this Filipino preacher. This guy has got, and I'm not joking, millions of followers. I'd never heard of him before. And I wrote down his name, but I left it at home. But you don't need to know, trust me. But he's got millions of followers, and he has millions of dollars to spend. And, buddy, he spends. They have a website, and it states that it has the message of the appointed Son of God in nice big letters. And they're not talking about Christ. They're talking about this guy. He calls himself the appointed Son. Other people call him the appointed Son. They've got that. Well, actually, they have restored the Garden of Eden. It's on a mountaintop in the Philippines. And it's got paved roads. It's nice. They got cable TV because they own their own cable TV network. They got a couple of radio stations, two newspapers, and they are working toward a restoration of the planet Earth by planting trees, which is good. I like planting trees. I'm glad trees are planted. I don't think that really qualifies, though. And I got the feeling that this is what they think Jesus Christ would have been doing if he had money. He had all power in heaven and earth, even when he was here. He also said toward the end, and I'm sure they saved this for last, that he wouldn't mind if the people of the Philippines elected him president. He would be okay with that. He'd understand, you know. And he talks about himself in the third person. You know, the appointed son would be happy to be president. Now, Christ did sort of speak of himself in the third person in the scripture, but that was a thing of humility, not of ego, which was what this is. Now, there was a fellow that wasn't on this program that I know of, who's in Florida. He's a preacher, and he got a tattoo. And some of his followers did also, and it made the news because the tattoo he got on his arm, I think, says there's just three letters. It's actually three numbers, 666. I don't know where the people get this stuff from. He also says, this is the fellow in Florida, that there is no hell. Jesus of Nazareth killed the devil, so there's no sin. Don't worry about it. And anyone that doesn't believe in him is going to be miserable. Now, I love the fact that all four of these people have no understanding whatsoever of Jesus Christ, of anything he did and who he is. I'm reminded, Walter, of that story Earl told of him and that other fellow were at the ordination for this young preacher. And Earl's friend asked him, who is Jesus Christ? And the fellow said, "What? I don't know what you mean. I don't understand the question." These fellows don't understand the question either. And it's very clear they don't understand the answer. Because if they had any understanding, they know that they weren't Christ. Wouldn't even proclaim to be it. I was reminded watching this program of a song, a popular song. Well, it wasn't that popular, but the group was. About 30 years ago, groups called Dire Straits. And they did a song called Industrial Disease. And I remember this fondly just because of this one line in this song. And the line goes, two men say they're Jesus. One of them must be wrong. Even regular folk get it right every now and then. But there's a better statement. In this case, I know of four people that are calling themselves Jesus, and all of them's wrong. Dead wrong. Jesus Christ spoke of this. He warned us in the scriptures. Those are the same scriptures these fellows are going to have to ignore if they're going to keep this up. And they're going to keep it up. Because that was foretold in the scriptures also. Paul wrote this to Timothy. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. This same Jesus who went up is coming back. In like manner as you've seen him go. He's not going to be born in the Philippines. He's not going to be born in America. He's not going to be born in Russia. He's not going to be born in England. Again. There are books out. Now it is fiction. Where some people are worried. Because they think they gave birth to the daughter of God. Because they remember what happened to his son. That's the tagline to get you to read the book. We're surrounded by this. It's everywhere. There's only one mediator between God and men. He ever lives to make intercession for his people. And that's what he's doing now. And that's where he is now. And that's who he is now. The God-man. He's not on a mountaintop in the Philippines. He's not in Florida on the beach. He's not in Siberia or England. He's on the throne. He's on the throne, expecting that his enemies be made his footstool. He is our Lord. He is Jesus Christ. And as Walter's been preaching, he is everywhere. Where two or three are gathered together, there I am in their midst. I think we qualify today. I don't know why we need him in the Philippines, on a mountaintop, in a restored Garden of Eden, with street lamps and paved roads and cable TV. But he's there. Even if I go to the Philippines, thou art there. But it's not that fella in the white suit. They don't understand that God is everywhere. What Walter's been preaching from Psalms 139. They have no comprehension of it. It makes no sense to them. And they don't believe him. Christ is coming again in like manner as believers saw him go. In the air and in power. Christ said this. Mark 13:21, and then if any man say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. How simple is that? If somebody says, here's Christ, don't go. Don't believe him. Don't pay any attention to him. You can watch him on TV if you want. I'm not watching it anymore, I swear. It's my fault because I told her to turn away from the news because I was sick of hearing about the oil spill. So she went to National Geographic. And we got Jesus instead of geography. I don't know why. Or geology. If a man says, here's Christ or there's Christ, don't believe it. Do not believe him. That sounds pretty simple, but it's because it is pretty simple. Christ said it. It's so. Whether they believe it or not, it's so. Jesus Christ said this because it was true and because we needed to hear it. Because he knew these guys were coming. And these aren't the first, and they won't be the last. And I'm quite certain they're not the only ones. They're just the only ones that made it on the television that I heard about. The guy from Florida, I think they had on the Today Show or something. I don't know why. But they do. They get good publicity. And people are gullible. People are depraved. But I thank God for his spirit, which bears witness with our spirit, that we might know the things of him. And know these fellows aren't, well, they're basically full of it. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Okay? Now, he was God manifest in the flesh. Right now, he's God manifest in the flesh. At the right hand of the Father. He will come again as God manifest in the flesh. He doesn't need any other flesh. God doesn't need another first son, firstborn, among many brethren, yes, but he's only got one firstborn, and he's still alive, and he's still manifest in the flesh. When I typed this up, I wrote that God, Jesus Christ, is God manifested in the flesh. It's not past tense, it's present. It'll be future tense if you want. It hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. The world is never going to see a new manifestation of Jesus Christ in the flesh. The world is never going to see it. That's what the world wants. And the reason the world wants it is because they didn't like the first one. Yeah, there you go. There you And they don't like the first one. And they will not like the first one. You can take that in all three tenses too. I'm sorry about that, but Jesus Christ is the one and only manifestation of God in the flesh that there will ever be. He is the one mediator between God and man, and the only one there'll ever be. No matter what the Catholics say about Mary and Peter and all that stuff, no matter what this Yahoo in the Philippines says, they're going to have to deal with that one day. And they will deal with it one day. And it won't be pretty. We'll rejoice. If you're in Him, we'll rejoice. 1 John 2 and verse 22 says, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ?" He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." And how? Or amen. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess to this same Jesus, who went up and is coming again in like manner as you've seen Him go. This Jesus Christ is my God. The guy in the Philippines is a liar. That's it. Now, I don't know. I mean, the guy in England might be deluded, but he's a liar also. I didn't see the one about the guy in Siberia. The guy in Florida is a nut. Okay? Anybody that wants to go get the number 666 tattooed on your arm and say you're Jesus, you're a nut. And the world's full of them. And the sad part is people are following them. People are giving them money. And people think, by listening to these guys, that's the way to heaven. That's the way to God. There's only one mediator between God and men. That's the man Christ Jesus. And He is on the throne now. He is everywhere in amongst His people. Wherever they're gathered together, He's everywhere no matter where we go. But He's on the throne, in the flesh. Every knee's going to bow, every tongue shall confess that this same Jesus who went up into heaven and shall come again in like manner as thee saw Him go, He's King of kings, He's Lord of lords, and He is the one and the only mediator between God and man. There is no other. No matter what anyone says. I get vexed at stuff like this. But I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. Some of it makes me laugh, like the little kids telling him, "No, you're not," in that nice little British accent. But it's not funny. It's serious. And I can't help them. I wish I could. I do wish I could. But I do know this, and I'm glad for this. his spirit has bore witness with my spirit that Jesus is the Christ. He is manifest in the flesh. He is sitting upon the throne. He is coming again. And he's coming for his bride. I know we're going to have a wedding later. Christ is coming for his bride. There's no mention of that, any of that on that television program. There's a marriage supper of the Lamb yet to come. And we're going to be there. If you believe him, if you know him, if you trust him, and more importantly, if he knows you, you're going to be there. His bride will be there, complete, intact, in one piece, nobody missing. And I thank God for that. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this day, this time, which we have set aside to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we ask your blessings as we go forth in this world which doesn't know you, doesn't want to know you, and wants to make up their own God, their own Christ, their own spirit, and treat it as if it is so. We are surrounded on every side, but by your grace, by your wisdom, by your knowledge, which you have given us in Christ Jesus, we will continue to love you and trust you and honor you to the best of our ability. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.